You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I always like to teach you along the same vein because Apostle is doing something in these last days that I don't think the body of Christ is aware of. When I say the body of Christ, I'm talking universal body. And our local body knows what God is doing here. But the universal body, I think, need to be partakers of this anointing that God has placed on our apostle, because he not only changing people's life with the word of God, evangelizing the world and making us covenant winners, but he's also giving us prophetic strategies for these end times. And we all know that in these last days that we need special direction, special word, special insight, special understanding. And we need those things to help govern us, because we'll be like a sheep without a shepherd. And so I got this particular subject I want to talk about. And it's, I believe it goes along the line of Apostle Simon, because I like to kind of fortify. That's a good word, fortify?
Yes, sir.
Fortify our understanding in the apostolic.
Yes.
You know, apostles talk about the apostolic. Dr. Leroy Jr. talked about the apostolic, and because it's such a, it gives us greater insight in the mind of God.
Yes.
See, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God is trying to get us somewhere.
Yes.
And in order for, this is my introduction. Let me talk a little while with my introduction. In order for God to get us where he wants us to go, there has to be a word called obedience. And I'm talking about obedience is better than sacrifice. That's the topic of my subject this morning. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, that's some stories go behind this. In the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, some things happened. And I know you're familiar with the story about King Saul didn't fully obey God. But the prophet Samuel made this statement to Saul, during the time of Saul reign over Israel. Because Saul didn't fully obey God, which he did, he thought he did, along with many of us sometimes, we think we fully obey God. But the prophet told Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. That's just one word he used. If you read the full verse, you're going to find out he talked about rebellion, that the sin of witchcraft. He called his disobedience rebellion. Now, I'm not here to talk about rebellion today, but it might slip out every now and then. But that's not my goal today. My goal is to talk about obedience. Because without obedience and understanding what God wants, God can't get his assignment or his orders or his will. That's the best word. His will done in the earth realm. God has a specific will for every season of time.
Yeah.
Even for this season of time we're in, God has a specific will. And apostle is hard pressed among some subjects. You know it. He's teaching on tithing right now. He also, God gave him the money coming message. He also teaching on health. And so those special assignments got to be, how would I say that? Extracted out of the spirit realm into the earth realm. But we got to be able to catch it. And once we catch it, we got to be able to walk in obedience towards it.
Yes.
Now, what I did, I was standing over there, and I put my hand on the positive chair. I said, Lord, let me suck up some of this anointing. you know, God trained for anointing, you know, and I want everything I can get from my apostle. But the point is that that God has to establish his will upon the earth. And guess who he used? He used people.
Yes,
plain, ordinary people like us.
Yes.
To fulfill his plan upon the earth. But if we renege, God can't get his will fully done. I'm going to show you some examples of some people in the Bible that God gave them some assignment, but they I'm going to use the word apostle used to use. He still used it, but when I was on staff, he said, don't drop the ball. Some of us heard that before. I've heard that. I've dropped the ball a few times. That's why I know. And so what do you mean drop the ball? Drop the ball mean when I give you an assignment, don't stop doing what I said do until I tell you. I've heard that. And I understand that better now. So that goes on to everybody in here. When ministry of health, when God gave an assignment to apostles to for us to do, and don't drop the ball. If he never said stop doing it, don't stop doing it. Well, I just a little side story, but it was good anyway. But I'm trying to get somewhere with my lesson here. Let me give you the introduction. That wasn't a good introduction. Let me give you another one. Let me read this to you here. The prophet Samuel received an order or an assignment for King Saul to execute in the earth realm. God always do that and still doing. God wanted his promise he made years ago fulfilled at this particular time. Now watch what I just said. This particular time. God always has a set time for everything in your life. You know, we're praying about things, we believe in God for some things, but that's a set time. And you're not going to rush God. You're not going to coax him to do what you want to do. But God's a set time. Why? Because he's doing some other things we don't see him doing. And just got to walk in patience and faith and let him do what he want to do in your life. But there's a set time. And there's a purpose. So God wanted to get something done at a set time in this particular time. He wanted the Amalekites to be punished for what he did to the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. But what the Amalekite did, and God marked that. You know, he marked certain things. So what do you mean? When the Israelite was coming out of Egypt, they crossed the Jordan River. And so what happened? Amalekite ambushed them from the rear. Now, to give you a little insight on this, all the women and children walk in the rear. Why? Because the soldier and everybody, the fighting men, walk up front to protect anybody that coming against them. So they ambushed them. And a lot of people died. A lot of women and children died. And God didn't like that. And so God marked that. He said he's going to totally destroy the Amalekite. Well, he gives this assignment to the prophet Samuel to give to King Saul. And so King Saul, let me read that, because he gives him some explicit assignment, some explicit instruction. And these instructions were supposed to be followed out to the T. Everybody say to the T. Why I say that? Because sometimes when the pastor gives you some instruction, you didn't know I would slip that in there. But he wants to follow it through to what? To the T. We understand that statement, to the T. I mean, he don't want you to drop the ball. He don't want you to come up with your own substituted idea. You know what that means, huh? You know, you can change God's plan and substitute it to fit you. And we're going to talk about that if the Lord permit us to. God don't want no substituted will. Matter of fact, God don't want to give you a will or something to do, and then he don't recognize it after you get through. That's not what I ordered. With Samuel, God didn't recognize that. Y'all ain't Samuel yet? Okay, I'm trying to get there. Okay, 1 Samuel 15. And we're going to start at verse 1, because verse 1 is going to give us the whole understanding of the story. I might be doing a little bit of reading, but just follow along with me. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he led away from him in the way when he came up from Egypt." Now here's the instruction now. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all." You know what all mean, huh? Sometimes people get confused with all. All mean what?
All.
All, that and everything else. Yeah. "With all that they have, that the possession, that the," see, "the spoils." See, they maybe they didn't understand that all meant the spoils too. Yeah. The sheep, the cattle, the silver, the gold, everything that they had, he said, destroy everything. None of these things was supposed to be taken. And God meant it. You know God means what he said?
Yes,
he said what he mean?
Yes.
Why? Oh, Lord. Why? Sometimes people try to change what God wants, you know, every realm. I was going to say something, but I changed my mind. Oh. Everybody say, oh. "And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now that was his instruction. And those instructions were supposed to be followed, just like God gave them to Saul from Samuel. Now, I need to give you some definition so we can stay up with what I'm saying. And so you can understand where we're going. I'm going to make this statement again. God is always trying to get his will done in the earth. Now, Jesus prayed that in the 6th chapter of Matthew, did he? He said, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So if Jesus, that's what we call it, the model of prayer, but Jesus wanted us to pray that always pray God's will on earth. The same will you have in heaven. And the apostolic is the heaven to earth government. You know, for some time, the church has been trying to function from earth to heaven, trying to get God to do what they want God to do. But God already knows what he wants to do. He just wants you to line up with what he wants to do, and you're going to get everything you want.
Yeah.
See, sometimes we get it backwards. You see, our will and God's will is two different things. God's will always supersedes our will.
Yeah.
What we think is seen above and below that we actually think. What we think, and like Apostle said, is always too small for God.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want to stick in your own will, that's fine. You get what you get, and you just thank God for it. Lord, thank you for what I got. But God said, that's more.
Yes.
We're learning that. A little bit here, a little bit there, but we're learning through tests, trials, and temptation. We're learning it through a little struggle. I'm talking about on your own.
Yes.
You struggle sometime, and then you learn. You say, Lord, I didn't have to even struggle for that. The Lord said, I've been trying to get that message to you for centuries. Centuries. So, here's the definition, number one. We say it's obedience better than sacrifice, right?
Yes.
So, let me give you a definition of obedience first. Obedience. So, we can know, we'd all be on the same page when we talk about obedience. Obedience is compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. That's pretty plain, ain't it? It's pretty plain. Need to read it again. Compliance with an order. God wants to comply to what he's ordered. and we're gonna find out. I'm gonna deal with Samuel and Saul a little bit. We're gonna find out. I don't wanna stay too long because I got some other things, but we're gonna find out that Saul didn't really comply to the order that God gave. And even though it came through another man, what I mean? Sometimes people won't get the order straight from God. But it's also said, it's a mission to another's authority. You see, apostles' authority come from God. And submission to that authority is just like submitting to God. Apostles delegated authority. And most people want direct authority, communicate directly. Well, God ain't told me nothing yet. What, doggone it, you just told it to the apostle. I didn't mean to say God, don't just come up. Well, wait, he just told you to the apostle what he wants done in the earth realm. And so we want to hear directly from God. We want a confirmation. I'm trying to get us to where we can understand what God thinks about our submitting to delegate authority. Moses, you're going to be as God to the people. In other words, the words coming out of your mouth is what's coming out my mouth. So when you release my words, it's just like I'm speaking directly through you to the people. That's not too hard to understand, huh? My little granddaughter's 7 years old understand that. But I'm saying it's not hard to understand. But the church gets confused with a lot of that. They get confused. Why did he get confused? They get confused because I got my own mind. Yeah. Thank God for it. Now here's another definition. Sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now here's what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is the act of losing or surrendering something as a penalty for a mistake or fault or failure to perform it. I'm going to read that one more time. The act of losing or surrendering something as a penalty for a mistake or fault or failure to perform. That's exactly what Samuel was trying to make Saul understand. Saul, what he did was, instead of him performing what God wanted by slaying all the Amalekites and all the animals, and he kept King Agag alive. Well, he thought his sacrifice to God was gonna just make everything evil, Stephen. He thought his sacrifice would have satisfied God because he saved all the best of the sheep, all the best of the lambs and everything to sacrifice. So he thought that would have been sufficient to God to be satisfactory to saying that I've obeyed you. But sometimes sacrifice is not obedience. And obedience is not sacrifice. I'm going to explain that a little bit better as we go on. Because God sometimes don't want your sacrifice. What do you mean? I thought sacrifice was a good thing. If he tell you to sacrifice, then it's a good thing. But if you sacrifice trying to justify something else, then God said, I don't want it. It's a substitute for obedience. And what Saul did, his sacrifice was a substitute for his obedience. So don't let your sacrifice be a substitute for your obedience. I know all of us have been here. All of us. I'm going to use a real simple one right now, example. God tell us, this is an assignment from heaven to earth, right? We got this, the witnessing. I forget how Leroy Jr. called it. Campaign. That's not a good word, but it's close enough. And so what happened is, God tells you, you're walking by that person, right? God said, I want you to talk to him for me. Because I got a plan for him. I want to use him in my work. Might not be born again. See, we don't know who the next Billy Graham that God tells to. We don't know who we're talking about passing by. And then what we do is we get to an element of what they call, just another definition we gave you, self-will. What self-will mean? Self-will mean I'm going to create another will. I'm going to create another plan besides what God told me. And you begin to justify what God really told you. And you create a sacrifice for not obeying God. And then you want to do something else to justify your disobedience. Now, let me make that more plain. Here is a definition for the word self-will. Self-will, and we all fall in that category sometimes. Self-will is, it denotes the person who, dominated by self-interest and inconsiderate of others, arrogantly asserts his own will. I'm going to read it one more time. Self-will. It denotes the person who, dominated by self-interest, that's just all about what you're thinking, and inconsiderate of others, arrogantly assert his own will. Now, let me make this statement to go along with that. Then we'll get back to that illustration I was trying to give you about an example of what God trying to get to the earth realm. The church world as a whole has yet to experience God to the extent of allowing him to accomplish his plan fully. I'm going to read that again. The church world as a whole, talking about the universal body, has yet to experience God to the extent of allowing him to accomplish his plan fully. Now, we're talking about heaven to earth government, and God sends plan to the earth. And for some reason, it's hard because we got to go through the human flesh and human aspect, the soul realm of it, for God to get his plan done, accomplished fully. When I say fully, I'm talking about to the degree where it's exactly what he wants. It's sometimes it's a challenge for God because God always trying to find an avenue to get his will done. What am I saying? Sometimes people renege on God's assignment. I remember an apostle was telling us, you know, that he wasn't the first one that God try to get the money coming message too. But some went back. They didn't fully accomplish God's will. But God got a man now that ain't going back. And I believe with all my heart that God told him this is the end time message. And it prepared the body of Christ for the second coming of Christ. Yes. So that order that God gave apostle is not only for him to help accomplish it, it's for all those that hear and obey. Yes. See, just the hearing of a message is not complete. We hear many messages. We got messages, for hours and hours that apostle has given us. But it's not complete unless it's obeyed. And when God put a message out, he expected it to be accomplished. And he don't want to drop the ball on anything. But sometimes we don't know our accountability. Once you hear, you become accountable. I mean, you can try to brush it off and say, well, he wasn't just talking to me. He's talking to everybody, so you don't do your part. No, he's talking to everybody that's here. Jesus said, they that have ears to hear, let them what?
Hear.
Let them hear. So I'm trying to go back and forth to get a place where we can understand exactly what we're saying. So God is trying to get his plan upon the earth fully, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you remember Jeremiah 29:11?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 29:11 said, for I know the plans. Now, that's the same plan we're talking about that I have for you. Just the new Living Translation. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So if God know the plans that he has for us, and God is trying to get that plan into the earth realm, that plan is not going to really be able to function as a revelation until there's some obedience with the plan.
That's right.
What am I saying? God knows the end at the beginning, right?
Yes, sir.
So if God knows what he wants to get to us as a church, as a body of believers, then he needs some cooperation.
Yes, sir.
God's not going to do it by himself.
Oh.
We got to cooperate with God to get his plans upon earth.
Yes,
and it takes obedience.
Yes.
And once we discover how to remove the self-will out of our life, then when God gives an order, we won't try to incorporate it with our own ideas. It's so easy to incorporate our own ideas with God's plan. Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel 15, and then we're going to see how easy it is to incorporate your ideas with God's plan, because sometimes your motives are mixed up with trying to accomplish God's plan. Don't let your motive get mixed up with God's plan.
Amen.
You see it? Because it's going to affect God's plan being accomplished upon earth. And instead of being a help to God, you become a hindrance.
Yes,
I don't want to be a hindrance to God.
No.
I don't want to sidetrack God's plan by adding to what he wants upon earth. You remember Pastor had to shut the people down? They try to make us some money come in. And say, Pastor said, no, damn, what God didn't told me to make no song out of it. No, they try to sidetrack. Matter of fact, he was prophesied years ago that men would try to take it another way. But Apostle watched everything like a hawk. You know, we got an eagle fly around our home. And I did a little study. You know, eagle can spot something, a prey, 1 mile away.
Yeah.
I said, my goodness, that's how sharp his eyes are. Well, that's how sharp apostle eyes are spiritually. He can spot in the sensitivity of his spirit when someone trying to take something another way instantly. Instantly he knows that's not going the direction God wants to go. And he's watching it. He's watching everything with everything he got.
Yeah.
Don't you think he'd just be sitting down there? I hear him say sometimes, I'm almost through. That y'all trying to make me quit? Well, how he knows that?
That's right.
He picked that up.
Yeah.
Sometimes we stand up too long. Y'all trying to make me quit? I'm trying to show you we're not stepping the ordinary man.
Yeah.
God had given special insight.
Yes, God.
You know, I think he's the latter day Moses,
yeah,
if I can use that. Taking us into the places that we can't get by ourselves.
Yeah.
See, the children of Israel couldn't get to the promised land by themselves.
Yeah.
They thought they could. Matter of fact, they said, why you should have left us in Egypt? Because doggone, you brought us out here to starve and we don't have our children we used to eat. And no, they were complaining because all we got is this manna here. They began to complain and didn't know that God was working according to his plan He had to show them how to be dependent on him alone, that I can feed you, that I can cause you to survive, that I can keep clothes on your back. But they wanted to do their own thing. Sometimes people like to struggle. God was trying to give them heaven on earth with manna. They said the manna came from heaven. My goodness. Everything else been coming from the earth. And God trying to give them heaven resources, and they complain, man, I'm tired of manna. Manna in the morning, manna in daytime, manna in supper time. Manna, we didn't fry it, we didn't bake it, we didn't cook it. Doggone, I'm tired of this manna. I want some chitlins. I want some... I didn't mean to say all that. I didn't mean to say all that, but that's the self-willness of man. We want what we want. And if you don't watch it, sometimes we try to direct our apostle. Might not say it, but if you think it enough, you just soon say it. You think loud enough, he's going to hear you. Yeah. So watch your thoughts. Yeah, he hears you. In the spirit, he hears you. I told my wife, I'm trying to line this message up. And I spent hours trying to put it in some kind of order. But I ain't got no order. Now let me give you an example of this right quick. Example what? Are we going to 1 Samuel 15? But I want to give you an example of God trying to gets things to us in the earth realm. And sometimes our knowledge of revelation won't let us get there. You know, the message on prosperity, sometimes when apostle start talking about it, sometimes he can feel resistance sometimes. You might not, oh, there you go again, talking about that money. But they don't know God trying to get something. He said, I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. But here's, let me show you something right quick here. I just stumbled upon this. God tried to give Peter the assignment to bring the Gentile nation into the kingdom. Remember that? The 10th chapter of Acts? He had the dream about this vision, about this sheep coming down from heaven, all manner of beasts, four-footed beasts. And he told Peter to slay and eat. I'm not going through it. But he showed him three times. And you try to let them know the Gentile nation is my people too. And then whoever I tell you to minister to them. Yeah. That's what that vision was about. So he tried to get that, the Gentile revelation to Peter. Peter had some roadblocks. Peter couldn't go that far. Sometimes God can't give you something you can't go that far. Everybody couldn't take the money coming message far as it is now. See, Peter didn't want to offend nobody. What do you mean? His Jewish friend. Because the law wasn't supposed to eat or drink or nothing with the Gentile. He didn't want to be criticized. Yeah. You remember when Paul corrected him back in Galatians? Yeah. You know, he told him, he said, you're one way with these people and one way with these people. You see, Peter couldn't take the revelation that far.
Yeah.
So God couldn't fully give it to him. I'm trying to show you a point now. I'm trying to show you why apostle preaches like he preaches and think the way he think when God give him an assignment. So we don't be the one putting the brakes on. My God. We got proof. Divine proof. We see evidence of what God is doing. Yes, we do. Now, he tried to use Peter, but Peter couldn't take the revelation as far as God wanted it to go. God had to rise up Apostle Paul and make him the apostle to the Gentiles. God had to rise up Apostle Leroy Thompson to make him an apostle of finances. Because others wouldn't go that far. See, we don't realize who we have in our midst. We got a chosen one. God's turned to heaven. My goodness, God stirred the earth, and right here in Darrow, we got a man with a revelation I don't believe nobody has as great as Apostle Thompson. I don't mean to be the altar, but I just couldn't help myself. I didn't want you to realize, come to grips, that we don't have an ordinary man we're sitting under. And we don't want to take it for granted. When the apostle called these special, these special meetings. Y'all know about these special meetings, though. He expects all of us to come to these special meetings. Yeah. Did we stand on with your apostle? If anybody ought to be with the apostle, it ought to be us. Yeah, but I got myself will. Oh, Jesus. I got... One time, Jesus would call the people to a wedding feast. And they were making all kind of excuses. I just bought a piece of land. I go check it out. I got to go do this. And the one man said, I just got a wife, and I got to go try her out. And so they made all kind of excuses from not being able to come to the feast. But Jesus said, go into the highways, and we don't want the Lord to do that to us, huh? Go into the highways and the hedges and get other people to come. Because those I call don't want to come. I got to let others come and feel world like Christian Center in these special meetings. My God. And y'all see what I'm trying to say in love? You know I'm talking in love, huh?
Yes.
Because the Lord told me, he said, always see what I see and always say what I say. And then you're gonna have what I say when you see what I see and say what I say. Yes. And so when we've got this great assignment and we got to back apostle up with this great assignment. You see it? Now, let me share this with you now. Let me share this with you. Now, I'm explaining this as I go, because it might seem like something foreign, but let me say this. We're talking about obedience better than sacrifice. We're talking about God trying to get his plan into the earth realm. Am I right? And we talk about God using people to help establish that plan to the earth realm. And we also talk about God wanting his plan accomplished fully in his earth realm. Not halfway like Saul did. Saul said, I've done the will of God. No, he wants fully accomplished. So when God gives him the assignment, he don't want to drop in the ball on it. So I'm going to make this statement here. And this is one of the reasons why God's will is not fully accomplished. You know, Jesus is the master at this. At what? Fulfilling God's will fully. Jesus is one of the one that showed us how to do it in the 26th chapter of Matthew, how to fully accomplish God's will upon the earth, despite of everything coming against him. Jesus said, I only do what my Father say, and I only say what my Father say. Now, some people think Jesus came to die on the cross, but Jesus didn't come to die on the cross. See, what are you saying? Jesus came to do the will of God. The cross just happened to be the avenue which God used. Yeah. He said, I come to do thy will, O God, in the Psalm. Yeah. So the will and the cross, we're going to find it with two different things. Now watch this, now watch. The will of God and the cup must also be one. See, that cup can be whatever assignment God give you. You see it? The will of God and what I said? The will of God and the cup must always be one. God's will must be higher than the cup. I'm going to explain that. See, because that's a very important... God's will must be always higher than the cup. Now, I started off giving an example, but God telling us to witness to this. That's just one example, you know. And so I'm trying to set this up here. God telling us over here, I want you to go witness to this certain person. He might not tell you the whole thing, but he showed you who you need to talk to. And on this side here is the cup. You see it? So what is the cup? The cup becomes the excitement. All right? So over here, the will on this side, what God told you to do, and the cup is on this side, but the cup and the will is separated now because part of you don't want to do it. Part of you saying, well, I don't know if you know, but sometimes the devil will talk to you when God tells you to go talk to somebody. He'll give you every excuse why you shouldn't talk to him. And he'll tell you, if anybody's doing any wisdom to you, you know what I'm talking about. You find until you get to that breakthrough place where you don't care what you say.
That's right.
You finally get there. But when you first start witnessing, you have a little problem because you say, oh, I'm gonna catch them later. Oh, they're not even going to listen to what I'm going to say. Oh, I don't have the personality to do that. I'm kind of shy when it comes to talking to people, to strangers. You know, so that becomes the cup, the will over this side. And now, but it's separate here. Now I got to make the will and the cup one. Now, in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to find out. Matter of fact, let's read that right quick. Matthew 26 and 39. I'm going to read it because it's going to help us to understand why we got to submit to God's will so fully. Because if you don't, God's not going to get that particular task accomplished in the earth. And we're talking about individual now. That's individual thing God assigned us to do. And sure, there's the corporate one with what apostles putting out as a corporate, and there's assignment with the slack, the witnessing campaign, but it becomes individual.
Yeah.
It's in other words, there's some things I can do with just me and God.
Yeah.
And not trying to accomplish as a body. Something you accomplish as a body. For the meeting when the body of Christ got together and showed their love for the apostle. We'll accomplish that in just in an hour.
Yes.
That was a corporate. I'm showing, for example, that was corporate.
Yes.
Showing the man of God how much we love him. But I'm talking individually now. You're in Matthew 26, 39.
Yes.
Look, and he went a little far, talking about Jesus, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, why would Jesus ask God that? If he didn't have to deal with his soul and his flesh, when he came to understand from God, and he knew the cross was the way that God was going to redeem man, but at this time, the cross is on one side and the will of God on the other side. Now they're two separate things. Remember I said earlier, Jesus did not come on the earth to die on the cross, but he came to do the will of God. Just though the cross was the will of God.
Yeah.
But he had to make the will of God and the cross one.
Yes.
And so the Bible talks about, let me finish reading the verse, then I'm going to talk about it. Nevertheless, listen to this. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Not as our will, but as thou will. See, that's where that self-will kind of separated us from the will of God. Now, Lord, not as I will. I don't want my will to get, my will is, Lord, if you could do this some other way, let it be done.
Yeah.
Now, that goes with anything you're dealing with. Any assignment God gives, see, sometimes assignments seem hard to do. See, Lord, you could do it another way. Lord, do it, Lord, because my flesh got trouble with this. You know, I don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can handle rejection in witnessing. I don't know if I can deal with somebody curse me and tell me, I don't hear about you, Jesus. I was in Walmart one time. I called Walmart the saving place. You know, because every time I go to Walmart, I'm always stumbling on, you know what I'm talking about, always stumbling on somebody. Mostly these people that stock in shelves and stuff. That's who I get all the time. I always grab one of them. And actually, they're born again. But anyway, one man was telling me, boy, he got riled up. I mean, he got riled up. But I, you know, when you whistle long enough, you just don't care. Let him riled up. It didn't make no difference to me. And so he got riled up, and there two young girls that heard him. And so he was trying to say everything he can about Christianity. And so I let him go. And so I ministered to them two young girls. I said, look, what are you saying? Don't pay no mind to it. Jesus died for our sins. And on 30, God rose. They were Christian, they said. God rose from there. So I had to settle their heart so they don't go along with none of the fool that he was talking about. So my point is this. Sometimes it seems hard because they got some crazy folks out there. And you know, but the Lord had to plant a seed in this man's heart. I gave him the word of God. I said, no man coming to the Father but by him. You can find any other God you're trying to get, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I left him with that word, not him and the Holy Ghost going to deal with that. But anyway, sometimes you're with the will of God here and a cup over here, and you got to deal with your feelings of being rejected and all these other things. And then when you come to a place like Jesus, now, Jesus prayed three times. Finally, I'm not going to have time to read everything. He rose up that third time and he knew that cross was the will of God. He told his disciples, sleep on now and get your rest. That's what he said. He said, arise, let us be going. No, in other words, he's saying, this thing is finished here. I got this thing settled. And I mean, the will of God then merged into one, not a cross. And the will of God is one.
Yeah.
When you come to the place, when God gives you an assignment, when whatever he tells you, and you really scratched out your self-will, when that thing become one, then there's no problem. Say, okay, I'm ready for one offense. I'm ready for whatever they bring it on. I'm ready. I know what I got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes God do that now. Sometimes God do it without finance. He give us a special amount to give, and then we're struggling. Oh, God, I don't know about this. See, that's separate there. The, God tell you one thing, and then your flesh tell you, Lord, I can't do that. That's too much. But until that thing become one, shucks. You ain't got no problem.
Yeah.
How did you get the checkbook? Because
yeah.
You didn't sell it.
Yes.
God didn't confirm to you what his will is, and you know you can't get around it. How many know when God tell you something and you know you can't get around it?
Yeah.
Something you just got to do. Because I know it's the will of God for me at this time, and God trying to get something to you.
Yeah.
I understand that now. It takes a while to absorb certain spiritual things. Yeah. But after you meditate on things and after you open your heart to receive these truths, then you can readily receive it.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do.
Yeah.
I don't care what I think. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what people say. Some people struggle coming to this church. God told him to come, which is on this side. Then on this side is the opposition. What my grandma gonna say? What my Nan and my mama and what my siblings gonna say? Because they always talking negative about it. And so you got. But what God tell you,
amen.
You get to the point, Lord, I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
I know what you told me,
yeah.
And I'm sticking with what you told me.
Yeah.
See, some people wanna be a part of the ministry now. They're struggling. They're struggling. God didn't told them, and they're struggling with the will. But their self-will didn't got in the way. Their self-will is their own will get in the way. You see it? Well, God trying to make it, my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. So, you understand a little bit about what I'm trying to say about how your self-will keeps you from obeying? I wish I could get to Saul. Saul is the one that breaks it down more plain than anybody I ever seen, but he seemed to have a good excuse toward. Now look at this statement here. The church has a tendency to do whatever it wants or do whatever it seems right to them. See, not this church. Not this church. This church as a whole sometimes. I'm gonna read it again. The church has a tendency to do whatever it wants to do or whatever seemed right to them. See, that's normal human philosophy about trying to accomplish something. You ever work with somebody? You've been doing something and you know it's been working, and they always try to show you another way to do it. That's the most hardest person to work with. They won't tell you They won't tell you how to do it. And you know how to do it. They got a better way. Yeah, I've seen people. I work with people. They always got a better way. You know, and sometimes, you know, you're not ignorant to other people's ideas. But when you're proving something, when you're proving something, you don't need another way. It's working for you. When something's working for you, why change something that's working for you? Well, anyway, people try to do things another way. Moses did something. Now, I'm almost through. Moses did something. You remember when the children of Israel, they was in the desert, and they start complaining with Moses again. We thirsty, our cattle gonna die and everything, and we ain't got no water. You should have left us. I told you should have left us in Egypt. And so, but you wasn't listening, Moses. And so, Moses already, God had told him previous to that, they wanted water. God told him to strike the rock. Y'all remember that, right? Well, this second time, Moses fell on his face, and him and Aaron went before the tabernacle to seek God's will. And God said, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come out because I want the people to be white word, honored before me. Know what God was saying? He said, I want people to see my gracious, loving side. And I want them to see my love for them, that I'm not going to let them go without water. I'm not going to let their cattle die in this heat. If I brought them out this far, I'm going to sustain them. I don't care what they need. But Moses went to the rock. Moses said, do I have to make water come out of this rock for you? See, Moses went with the wrong spirit. Yes. Was that God's will? No. That wasn't God's reaction to this situation. No, that was Moses' reaction to it. Because Moses allowed himself to get vexed with these people. I mean, these people just frustrated him. These people they were almost to the promised land. Moses had been with these people 30-something, almost close to 40 years, and now these people still contrary. You would say, you think they will learn something off all the, sometimes think people learn something after all these years, but sometimes they just don't get it. They've been with him. They've seen Moses cross the Red Sea. God made food come from heaven, birds fly, and then just, like Apostle said, catch heart attacks. And he did supernatural thing. I mean, and they still couldn't see. And so he's saying, you don't see what God's doing yet. They got frustrated. I'm getting frustrated talking about them. And so Moses fussing at the people. Moses fussing at the people. And he didn't show. I'm going to say it like this. He misrepresented God. He didn't show God affection, God love, God mercy, God grace. He showed his anger and his frustration. And so he struck the rock. Now, hear what God told him. I wish I had time to go to it. God told him. He said, Moses, what, you did not believe me? Wow. I said, what a statement here. God corrected Moses. Said, now I said, wonder how many of us fall in that category sometimes. We get frustrated and we do something opposite from what God told us to do. And then God look at that at unbelief. What, you didn't believe me, Moses? You want to take this thing upon your own? And do it your own way. And for that one reason, I said, God, Moses was faithful for all those years. And in one incident, you wouldn't permit him to go into the promised land. That's how serious this is to God. How you represent him. God don't want to be misrepresented. When he tell you something, he expect you to adhere to it. He expect to do it just like he said do it. You can't alter it. You can't go a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. You see, no, you can't do it. You see, it ain't like playing horseshoe or throwing hanging it. You just see, something just got to get close. You see? But no, God said, you got to be on the money with me. God said, you got to be accurate. You see, now I got 5 minutes. Let's look at 1 Samuel right quick, and we hope they can bring this thing to some kind of a close here. Now, watch this now. We're in 1 Samuel, right? I'm going to read a little bit. This is going to be after God gave the instruction to Saul. And Saul came to the city of Amalek, the fifth verse. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites. What am I doing? See, that's why you can't use these computer things. I'm trying to turn my page on this thing, and it don't move. But you know, the Bible always works. I'm telling you. Always works. Now, 1 Samuel 15, verse 5, right? I practice with it at home. Okay, 15 verse. 15 chapter, verse 5. Thank you. Almost there. Okay, here it is. Yeah, here it is. And it was so that when in it, am I in the right? Oh, I mean 2 Samuel. I mean 2 Samuel, I'm going to 1st. Almost there. Okay. All right. Y'all understand a little bit what we're trying to get to?
Yes.
Okay. Fifth verse says, all right. And Saul gathered, fifth verse, and Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until they came to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, what? Alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fatling and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that he destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. You see that? God, look at this, that he didn't obey me. He didn't turn back from following me and had not performed my commandment. You see that? And it grieved Samuel. He cried unto the Lord all night. Why? Samuel loved Saul. But he had to see this happen to Saul. And when Samuel rose up early, Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is going about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Sometimes this way people miss it. You think you perform the will of God, but you haven't. You perform it according to your own self-will and self-interest. And God is not pleased with that. See, we don't receive God's mercy and grace is in this dispensation of time. And we don't receive the ground splitting open in all these things these people experience. I mean, things were happening, plagues, killing 14,000 people at a time. No, it's God's grace covering us. Yeah. So, but we're doing some of the same thing, but God then just graced us and let us get by and say, hope they repent. Yeah. What I'm saying, we take some things lightly. We saw Moses, we look like that was a small thing that God reprimanded him for. We'll let him go into the promised land. And now we see, I can't go no further, but now we see Saul did this and his whole kingdom was taken from him. Father, we thank you so much.